Well, tonight, I want to talk to you about lifting up your eyes. But have you ever had the situation where you were just kind of walking along and not looking where you were going, and you ran into something or you bumped into somebody? I mean, most of us have said to somebody before, if you've had kids, you've said it, you know, look where you're going, you know, before they run into that display at the store. Or maybe some of you wives have said that to your husband before he had a wreck, and you said, look where you're going, because he was craning his neck around to look at a beautiful truck that he saw, right? And everybody's at least thought that if you've ridden with a woman putting on makeup while she's driving, right? You might not have said it, but you were thinking it. We need to know where we're going in our personal lives, what the direction that we're moving in, what's where we're headed in our lives. You know, there's a lot of people in this world, they're headed for trouble and they don't even realize it. They don't know that they're going the wrong direction. But even those who are born again and love the Lord and want to serve God, it's important that we know where we're going, that we realize that we're supposed to be heading towards something. There's a plan and a purpose of God for our life, and we want to be moving towards that purpose all the time. A wise person said, you're more likely to hit the target if you aim at it. It's very true. I mean, you're just more likely to get where you want to be in life and accomplish what God wants to accomplish in your life if you're moving that direction, if you're looking where you need to be going. And you know what? God has a great plan for all of us, but we need to personally have an understanding and a revelation of the plan of God for us. And certainly all of us have missed it at times in our life, and none of us has it all figured out. Those people that act like they got everything all figured out, they're the ones you need to be worried about. But you know what? God gives us what we need right where we are to know what we should be doing and the direction that we should be moving in. But we need to remember this, that whatever the purpose of God is, it's always bigger than just ourselves. Oh, it's always a part of a bigger plan and what God is trying to accomplish in the earth today, in and through his people. And as part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we as members of the body of Christ, we need a sense of direction about where we're going as a church, what it is that we're doing. You know, sometimes in our personal lives, put it again, like if you're driving in the car and you make so many turns. You ever made so many turns that you lost your sense of direction? Now, I knew that none of you men would help me out here. You're not going to own up to that. But ladies, have you ever made so many turns you lost your sense of direction? Oh, come on. I see two hands. All right. I want every lady in here to point north right now without looking to see what somebody else is doing. Well, some of you are mostly right. There you go. That's actually pretty good. But I'm just saying, that's the way it happens in life sometimes. You know, you make a bunch of turns and you end up going, wait a minute. And I'm telling you tonight, this year has been full of all kinds of turns, and people have gotten so turned around, so confused, and so many distractions. And I believe God wants to call us back to the vision, to the purpose, to the cause of Christ and what he wants his church to be about. We need to get refocused. I know there's been so many distractions. Listen, not just for us personally, but even for the body of Christ, even for the church. But it's time for us to get focused back on what God wants us to do. We've run this way and that way and tried this and tried that. And you know what? Sometimes people just get to the place where they're running everywhere and trying everything and not really accomplishing nothing. We need to be focused on what God wants us to do. It is time for us as a church. It's time to rebuild. It's time to be about the master's business. It's time to get focused on the things of God. So many distractions. I'm talking about even amongst the people of God. So many distractions. It's time to get focused on the things that Jesus thinks are important. And so I want to share with you again tonight the vision of Grace Church. We won't fulfill the vision if we don't know what it is. So I want you to hear it. Our vision is to reach our generation by making disciples through personal relationships and strong children and youth ministries. Now, you can go to a lot of different churches and you can hear a lot of different visions, and every church maybe has their thing that God has put on their heart and the way to pursue. But no matter what that vision may sound like, it needs to be about this, that He wants us to reach this generation, that He wants us to go into all the world and make disciples. I mean, whatever the vision, it better be about the vision that God has, the vision that Jesus has for His church. But we need to remember the vision. We need to, Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. This is the vision. You can't reach a goal now if you don't know what it is, right? And so we need to know what the goal is. The goal is that we want to see people's lives changed. We want to see people come to know the Savior. Anybody in here, has God done something in your life? Are you glad you know Jesus? Are you glad that He saved you, set you free, healed you? Are you glad that your family knows the Lord? Oh, I'm telling you, we need to have a compassion. We need to have a passion, not just compassion, but a passion, a vision to reach people. So many people that don't have what we have. We need to be busy about the Master's business. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. And in the King James, New King James, it says this, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And I just want you to understand, it's talking about the same thing. It's just one of them is 16th century English, and one of them's a little more modern. But let me paraphrase the two together. You see, without a vision, without a revelation of what it is that we're supposed to do, we just end up wandering aimlessly until we just kind of waste away. And you know what? That's true for us as individuals. You see, without a sense of purpose and destiny, without a vision of for our own life that God wants to use us in some way, we end up just wandering through life aimlessly. Now, it may not look like it. Sometimes people fill up their lives with all kinds of pursuits of the world, but it ends up in the same place. But here's the thing. As a people, as the church of Jesus, we got to have a vision. We got to have a revelation. We got to see what God wants to do. Or we just end up being aimless, not even accomplishing anything. And I want to tell you this right now, that a church that doesn't have a vision to reach the lost, they're wasting away. They're wasting away. Sooner or later, they're going to waste away. Our vision for our personal lives and for the church, it ought to always be based on the Word of God, not just some idea that you came up with. But it ought to be something that lines up with the Word of God. Because I got to tell you, if it's just our idea, it will always fail. But if it's God's plan, it'll always prevail. Proverbs 19:21 in the NIV says it this way, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I love what Job said to the Lord when he finally saw the Lord. He said, I know that no plan of yours can be stopped. And you know what? Jesus said it. He said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. No plan of the Lord's can be stopped. And so we need to realize that when our plans line up with God's plans, it can't be stopped. Amen. Jesus himself gives us the vision, the goal, the purpose. We call it the Great Commission. I want to read it to you. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I said it a minute ago, but I want to say it again. Every church, in some way, their vision, their mission statement ought to line up with the Great Commission, because that is our mission. Our vision, I'm going to say it again, is to reach our generation by making disciples through personal relationships and strong children and youth ministries. Now, I'm just telling you, we have a great youth ministry. But this last year, it's been hard on our youth group. They're coming back. I believe they're coming back. Not just the ones that were here, but a lot more. They're coming back. Our children's ministry is already growing and growing and growing. I'm so excited about the great things happening with our children's ministry. And you know what? Every one of you sitting here tonight, there are people that you know that God wants you to be a part of their walk with the Lord. He wants you to have an influence and an impact on somebody's life. Maybe somebody that in the past you thought would never serve God. But every one of us, in our personal lives, there are people that God wants us to reach, people that God wants us to impact and have an influence on. Our vision is not to hold the fort till he comes. It's not the vision of this church. Our vision is not to satisfy the saints. I'm just being honest. I know that sound. Oh, now, come on, Pastor. Well, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that they think that's what church is about. That's not what it's about. It's not to satisfy the saints. No, it is about fulfilling his vision. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I want to tell you, he still, through his body, wants to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what we're about as a church. Not interested in just being religious. We want to see people's lives change. That's the kind of church we are. We care about the lost. Let me tell you, he loves the lost. Do you? It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what he wants. We want to see people's lives changed. We know that Jesus is the answer for a lost, hurting world, and we want to share that with them. We're not here to have some nice services. Listen, I hope we have some Holy Spirit empowered, life changing, you know, ground shaking. I mean, I want it all. You know what I'm saying? But it's not about us having some nice services. It's about people's lives being changed. It's about seeing God move and work, people being saved, people being set free. Seeing people living the life that God has for them. And there's all kinds of churches out there. You know, I've mentioned this before, but, you know, there's the churches that are watching for the rapture. They're standing up on the hilltop, looking up to the sky. We're waiting on the rapture any minute now. It's coming. Listen, I got saved in 1977, and people were saying, any minute. Now, don't misunderstand me. We need to love his appearing. We need to be ready for Jesus to come. But you know what we're supposed to be doing? We're not supposed to be standing on the mountaintop looking up in the sky. We're supposed to be busy about the master's business. He said when he comes back, we better be doing what he said. We're not one of those churches. I believe in the rapture. I believe he's coming back. And he wants as many to be ready as possible, so we better be busy doing what he said to do. And then there's those Bless Me Club churches. We just come, we want to feel some goosebumps, you know, we want to get blessed, and next week I'm going to come and hope I get a blessing today. Listen, that's not this church. I hope you get a blessing every time you come, but that's not what we're about. We're about seeing people's lives changed. Listen, I feel like I got five of you with me, and the rest of you kind of like, I don't know. Come on, church, we need to get a vision. We need to be on the same page of the things that are really important to God or what's important to us. And sometimes, it just kind of rubs us the wrong way a little bit. But you know, that's why Jesus said, if anybody would come after me, you got to deny yourself. And it's not always just about what we want. He said, then take up your cross daily and follow me. And when we do that, we're taking up the vision, we're taking up the purpose, the cause of Christ. Oh, then there's those doctrinal purity churches. That sounds pretty good on the outset. I mean, false teaching is bad. It'll mess you up. But I want to remind you, the Pharisees thought they were doctrinally pure. And man, were they messed up. And I've met a lot of Christians, they weren't the least bit interested in seeing anybody born again or helping anybody. They just want to argue over Christians. And the fact is that the ones that always want to argue all the time over Scripture, they're some of the most messed up people you'll ever meet. And the hardest to help, because they already know everything. There's the don't, we don't do that churches. Listen, I don't mean to be poking fun of other churches. I'm just trying to say, hey, we would need to realize tonight what's really important. But some churches, you know, they're like the Pharisees. They're not really so much for anything. They're just against everything. You know, they got all their rules. They're not interested in seeing lives changed. And you know what? I've been around that stuff. I've seen it. I've heard it all. You know, one time we had young couples who were having a game night at the church, and they were going to play some dominoes, and some people got on the phone, started calling around town, telling everybody they're gambling down at the church. Listen, I want to tell you something. Lost people whose lives are messed, they don't care if you play dominoes. They don't care if you're wearing shorts. They don't care what your hairstyle is. You know what they care about is whether or not what you got can actually change their life. Don't do that, churches. We know what's important, and yet somehow, too often, it gets put on the back burner. And man, did that happen a lot this past year. So weird, so awkward. But I'm telling you, we need to get back at it. Invite people to church. Now, John chapter 4 tells the story of Jesus ministering to a Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus talks with this woman. We've all heard of the Good Samaritan, right? But this was the bad Samaritan. She had had five husbands, and now she's living with a man. But Jesus didn't judge this woman. He didn't look down on her. But instead, he offers her living water. Amazing. Such amazing grace. Well, that's how we all got saved. You know, some of us think we're better than others. No, we're not. No, we're not. Listen, that's how we all got. You either got saved by the blood of Jesus and by grace, or you didn't get saved. None of us got saved by how good we were or how religious we were. But Jesus ministers to this woman, and she goes back into town, and she tells everyone, come see this man. Come see this man. Now, first of all, I just want to pause here for a second and just say to you, has God done anything in your life? You need to say, you need to come to Jesus. You need to come see Jesus. You need to come to church with me. Come to church with me. Oh, yeah, you do. I want to tell you something. He said, not the preacher, Jesus said, when two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I'm just telling you, if we really believe Jesus is showing up, we need to be inviting people to come to church. But she brings the whole town back out to Jesus. And as they're going out there, the disciples try to get Jesus to eat something. And Jesus says to them in John 4:35, he says, "Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Now, he said this to the disciples, but it was written for who? Amen. Some of you are getting it. He didn't write it down for the disciples. He wrote it down for us. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white unto harvest. Do you know it has always been a lie of the enemy in every nation and city and place and time? Oh, you know, it's not a good time to try to reach people. Jesus says the harvest is white. And I want to tell you right now, in this crazy time we're living in and so many problems in our world and everything's so messed up, it is the perfect time to tell them about Jesus. It is the perfect time to show them a better way. Listen, when it gets dark, the light just stands out all the more. We're supposed to be the light of the world. It's the perfect time, he says. Don't say 4 more months. He says, lift up your eyes. Look at the fields. They're already white for harvest. It's time. We got to get our eyes back on the harvest. He's not talking about wheat. He's talking about people. We got to get our eyes back on the people. So many people, so many even religious people, not just those who absolutely don't believe in God, but so many religious people, they're not really walking with the Lord. They're not really serving the Lord. They don't really know what it is to have the kind of relationship that you have with Jesus. And I'm believing, and I want to ask you to believe with me. I'm believing that this spiritual winter, this season is passing, and that spiritual spring is coming, that things are going to begin to bud out and grow and grow, that there's a great harvest that's coming. Amen. We need to believe God. We need to expect it. He says the harvest is ready. Lift up your eyes. Harvest is ready. You see, so many who are lost. We use that as a term for somebody that's not born again. But we need to understand that it's bigger than that. They're just lost. They don't have a clue. They don't know what to do. They're getting their information from 1,000 different voices. They don't know. We need to be able to tell them about Jesus and tell them how wonderful it is to know the Lord and to serve the Lord. So many are afraid. They're dealing with all kinds of problems. Some of them with health issues, financial problems, family problems, on and on and on it goes. Everything imaginable. They're all stressed out. They don't have any peace. You see, we need to lift up our eyes and see the need. We get so busy sometimes we don't really see people. I think especially in a metropolitan area, there's just so many people, and we can get to the place where we just pass by people and maybe even engage in, you know, simple conversation like, how are you? We don't really want to know, but how are you, you know, and we just walk on by. But I believe that there are God-given opportunities for all of us if we just lift up our eyes and see people, see the need. You know, a lot of the time we just see, we see what's wrong with people. We see that they're a mess. You know, Jesus looked at that woman at the well and he knew she was a mess. He could see that she was a mess, but he saw the need in her soul. That she was longing for something. She was thirsting for something. And you see, we need to look past the mess. All kinds of mess. You know, sometimes you can see it all over them. I mean, by the way that they act and dress and their mannerism, you can see that they're a mess. And sometimes you can tell that they're on drugs or maybe they had a little too much to drink. I mean, sometimes it's obvious that they're a mess. But here's the thing. Wherever we see that, we need to look past the mess and see the need. Lift up your eyes. Here's what's really important. People. That's what matters to Jesus. And see, if I say, well, what's the main thing? I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the main thing. But you know what the main thing is for Jesus? People. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. I got to tell you, I've preached this passage here many times. They were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And I don't think there's ever been a time that I've preached it that it was more pertinent and more on target and more a reality than right now. At least not in our nation and not in my lifetime than right now, that people are weary and scattered. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They don't have a clue. I'm telling you, they need the shepherd. Oh, how they need Jesus. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And this is our focus for prayer from now until Resurrection Sunday, is that laborers will be sent into the harvest. Listen, yes, we want to pray for the lost, but here's what Jesus said to do about it. Pray that laborers be sent into the harvest. And so even us who are shy and reserved and don't like to, you know, talk to people that we're not comfortable talking to about things we're not comfortable talking about, we need to pray. And I'm telling you, God, the Holy Spirit was given to us to give us a power to be witnesses for him. It's not a personality thing. It's a supernatural thing. And we can do that, but we need to pray. See, when we really pray for that in sincerity, I'm telling you, God will send laborers into the field because the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. We need to see the need. He saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion for them. You see, we need to see them, see the need, and be moved with compassion. I mean, if we look at the needs, we see the people, we see the needs, we see that they're bound, we see that they're messed up, we see that they got all these problems in their life. Oh, what a wreck they are. Instead of being a Pharisee and being judgmental and thinking evil things about them and thinking, why don't they do right? Why don't they get their life together? Let me tell you what Jesus did. He had compassion on them. And he saw them, a sheep without a shepherd. And that's what we need to do. We need to have compassion on them, not just see them as bad people, wicked people. In John 9, beginning in verse 1, it says that as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? By the way, I want you to catch this. He saw a blind man. He saw a blind man. And the disciples said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus saw a need. The disciples wanted to know who was to blame. They were ready to judge. Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and put it in the man's eyes. He said, "Go." He told him, "Wash in the pool of Siloam." The word means sense. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. You see, when we see somebody whose life is all messed up, and we shouldn't pass judgment, but instead we ought to see it as an opportunity for God to change a life, for God to be glorified. We look at the people of this world, sick and bound and hurting. All we need to see the need and see them as somebody that Jesus wants to help. When you consider Jesus, I'm just telling you, Jesus is not angry and hating on the lost. He loves them. And we need to pray until we have that same kind of compassion for people. Some of us have to go back a long, long ways. My wife just has to understand this through the work of the Holy Spirit, because she can't remember a time when she was messed up. I mean, she got saved when she was 6, so, you know, all her bad sins when she was 5, I guess. But for me and many of you, you can remember a time when you didn't have Jesus and how messed up you were and how hurt you were and how bound up you were and how many problems you had in your life. Anybody besides me? Well, I'm just telling you, there's so many out there how they need the Lord. And if God's done anything in your life, I'm telling you, you have a witness, you have a testimony, you have something that you can share with somebody else. You see, if God has healed your marriage, if he set you free from some addiction, if he's helped you to put aside bitterness and resentment of the past, if he's healed you of a broken heart, or healed you from wrongs that were done to you, maybe some kind of abuse. I'm just telling you, whatever it is, you have a testimony, a witness that can help somebody else come to know the Lord. You can be used of God. Some of you, you've tried to talk to people before about the Lord and it seemed like you had no harvest. I just want to remind you that Galatians chapter 6 tells us that we're not to be weary in well-doing, because we will reap if we don't give up. You keep sowing and you will reap. Anybody ever gone fishing? You cast that line out there. I didn't get nothing. I'm going to go home. I'm not going to do that anymore. You know what happens sometimes? This is the worst. You get hung up. A lot of hung up Christians. They got hung up and so they gave up. Man, if you got to, cut that line and put you another lure on there and get back at it. You know what I'm saying? You need to get over it. Just, you know, that's how the enemy always tries to hinder, always tries to keep us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. We need to have a vision for this, that this is what matters to Jesus. This is what he wants us to be doing. And I'm just telling you, if you've got a personal relationship with Jesus, you've got something that a lot of people need, and you need to share something with them. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 15, that if one of you has 100 sheep and he loses one, he leaves the 99 and he goes and looks for the one and he searches until he finds it. And this will never, ever become old for the church that's truly following Jesus. Because it is not about 99 righteous persons getting together. No, he says that we have to leave to go find the one. And right now, there's not one out of 99. There's like 30 or 40 out of 99 that we need to go get. There's a lot of people not in church, and they need to be. Don't listen to the lying religious spirit that's going around that you don't need to be in church. Yes, you do. People need to be in church. They need the body of Christ. We can't say, I don't need you. That's what the scripture says. No, we need the body of Christ. And there's a lot of people that are out of church. Anybody know somebody out of church? Oh, we need to get them back in church. And you know what? Now, Sunday, if you know people that want to go to church and they don't want to wear a mask, you know what? We got a service at 10:30. We can pack this place out. And you know somebody, they're like, well, I'm not going where I got to wear a mask now. Then you tell them, hey, you come at 9 o'clock and I'll be there. And I'll wear my mask with you. Paul said, I'm all things to all people. I'll tell you what, I'll wear a mask from now till Jesus comes if it helps somebody get saved. But I'd sure, if I'm inviting somebody and they're like, well, I got to wear a mask, I say, okay, that's all right. I'll be there. I'll sit with you. Y'all don't get quiet on me while I'm preaching good. I'm just telling you. You know what's really important to Jesus? People. People getting saved, their lives changed, people being born again. That's what really matters to Jesus. I'm going to quit in a minute. This is, you know, when I pray about what I'm supposed to share, and most of the time it doesn't come easy to me, but God just puts something on my heart, and I know this has been on my heart, and I know that this is for us tonight. You know, and I thought about this message. I thought, Lord, Sunday morning needs to hear this. But I really believe that the Lord had this for us tonight, that you're here for a reason and that God wants to use us to make a difference and that we're going to see people saved. We're going to see lives changed. And what joy, what victory it brings. I want to go back to John 4. One more time, Jesus tells them to lift up their eyes and look at the fields. He says they're white unto harvest. And then in verse 36, he says, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Wow. Gathers fruit for eternal life. You want to make a difference in eternity? That both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this, the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. See, sometimes you're sowing. That doesn't mean you're not accomplishing anything. And sometimes you actually get to be the one that reaps. He's saying to the disciples and to us, he says, I sent you to reap for that for which you've not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. I'm telling you right now, some of you, you're going to get to be the one that reaps the reward. Somebody else has labored, but you're going to be the one. One man said, the people that sow and talk to people about the Lord and they didn't come, they think they didn't do anything. And the one that finally gets them, they think they did everything. Both are wrong. It's the sowing and the reaping. It's all of us working together. But we just need to understand that I believe we're at a time where we're going to get to do some reaping. In fact, in the NIV, verse 38 says it this way, others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. And here's what I want you to take away from that. Don't expect it to be hard. See, we got to get past that. I found out that the things that are difficult in life and, you know, looks like it's going to be a challenge, the more that I focus on, man, this is going to be hard. It just makes it harder. But you know what? When I start focusing and saying, hey, it's worth it. This isn't so bad. This isn't so hard. We need to get past that attitude about reaching the lost and inviting people to church and seeing God move and work in their life. We got to get past that and just bring them in.